The next speech that we were going to have today was from Claudia Scheidemann, who is now, or is ill today and is not going to be able to join us. So luckily we have Carolina Winkelbach, who is going to speak in her stead. And Carolina is from the third coaching group. She also is trained as a Feldenkrais practitioner. She also is a tax consultant and also a, well, I don't know if that's an English word, but agribusiness. So I guess agricultural business person. And she loves further
agribusiness.
Sorry?
Agribusiness. English term, yes.
Okay, good. And she loves further education, training, books, and thinking outside of the box. So she's going to tell us about her dream of watching ponies during her breakfast. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Natasha, for this introduction. I did call the talk I did yesterday I did in German, like ponies at breakfast, because that was like the short phrase I found once when I dreamed of having my ponies living on the same property as I do. And plus I wanted the property to be built up so I can sit in the house at breakfast and see them, not have them like kind of in the backyard and I might windows all go towards the street. And in Germany, a lot of the older, traditional farm buildings that were there, their windows were up to the streets, and the dirty stables, they were in the back. They didn't want to see them. So this often didn't fit. So this was the short phrase, because everybody declared me to be nuts that I wanted to have ponies at my own property. And they think about the work, think about the flies, think about, whenever you get sick. And I know it's all stupid and it's expensive and it doesn't make any sense, but I want it anyways. And after a while I had told pretty much everybody who knew me knew that I was looking for a house with my ponies so I could have them on the property. And I looked at quite a few houses throughout Germany at that time. And actually, how is this all related to Barbara Scheer? Well, in her training, I think that was the first time as an adult, like really, that I kind of spoke out loud about this dream. Before I lived in big cities, I lived in Hanover, I lived in Hamburg, in the middle of Hamburg, quite across the Michel, this big church there. I lived in Stuttgart. So not the ideal places to have ponies in your backyard. And then I did this Barbara Scheer training and we should come up with impossible dreams. I had an impossible dream because in the city of Stuttgart or the city of Hamburg, it is impossible to have ponies in your backyard. Plus, I wanted to have to keep on working. And at the time, I had a husband who was really happy with his job in Stuttgart. So it was pretty much my impossible dream. But in the meantime, right now, I do live in Sweden and I have my ponies in the backyard. So that's the end of the story, kind of. But in 2021, all of a sudden, I came across an advertisement of a really nice looking house. And I just had expanded my area in Germany to a little different area. I thought, this house is in Germany. That looks nice, this picture. I like it. And then I looked a little closer into this advertisement and oops, this house is in Sweden. I didn't know one word of Swedish at the time. I had been in Sweden twice for a vacation of like two weeks, that was all of it. I knew about Sweden and Sweden is big compared to Germany. But I thought, okay, that's completely nuts. But maybe I can write an email to these sellers. Or yeah, well, we can talk on the phone. That doesn't hurt. They do speak German. They were Germans also. Well, but make it short, the next day I was in my car in the midst of COVID season, had figured out how I could cross two borders, how to get there, how to have the necessary COVID documentations, tests that all were not possible to get where I lived, but I had to do it on the way. I just wanted to look at the house. Okay, if there's nothing else, I just had 5 days in Sweden and well, that's a way over vacation, just do it. And then I came up here and the house looked really nice. I like the atmosphere on the property, but I had no clue about the Swedish legal system. How do you buy a house in Sweden? I had no clue about the Swedish tax system. Can I afford to live here? Sweden is known as a high tax country. So does my German income function here in Sweden? No clue at all. And well, I had to decide, do I want this house or do I not want this house? So what should I tell to the possible sellers? So yes, we agreed, yeah, I'm interested in the house, but then they had ideas that wouldn't fit with mine. And we said, okay, it's just a nice vacation. And I had called like friends, former neighbors of my parents who had a link to Sweden and knew a Swede who kind of could explain to me who I would have to ask to explain the Swedish legal system. I drove up to the local community here to ask about water rights because I have my own well on the property. And I was like, okay, does it run out? Do I have suddenly no water anymore? How does this function here? So no clue about anything. And these 5 days were a steep learning curve. I drove home. I said, okay, interesting vacation, but this house is not going to be mine. After a while, the possible sellers came back onto me, and this the whole thing we did twice. I always called it my Swedish detective story because Schwedenkrimi, because this is there are so many of those detective stories in German that are written by Swedes or. So, but it was not as bloody as those are usually. So blood was not involved in the whole thing. And Barbara Scheer was really like for me, like, okay, dare to dream, but be with your feet on the ground. Like I'm not kind of an immigrant. So, okay, I'm coming here. It looks nice here. I have no clue what to live on. No, before I actually did it, I did talk with the client I have. Okay, would it be fine with you if I work from distance? And with COVID, we all had practiced. So actually COVID came as a good thing to me because otherwise I would have thought, no way, I can work from far apart. And I'm doing that. And like being a Feldenkrais teacher, that's what I learned long after I was with Barbara Scheer. One of the Feldenkrais mantras is making the impossible possible, making the possible easy, and the easy stuff elegant. And yeah, it was an impossible dream. And well, but how to make it possible? It was, and now it's, and at the time people said, well, wow, you're so brave, daring to go to that different country all on your own. And in the beginning, people here asked me too, so are you married? I said, no, I'm here on my own. Or I said, I'm here with my two ponies. So we are three at the property. Yeah, but just one human. I said, yes, just one human. And you're all on your own. Yes, I'm all on my own. But it didn't feel like being brave. It was just a small step. I thought, okay, I looked at so many ruins in Germany, which would have to be renovated. Alexandra knows about a few of those ruins I saw because she was with me in some of this house watching process because house watching is one of her hobbies. And yeah, I couldn't renovate on my own, but I can learn Swedish on my own. So I was really afraid I wouldn't come up with English today. That's why I asked, okay, whenever I mix in Swedish, just interrupt. But right now my brain has kind of swapped again. That's why I listen to you all day, or one of the reasons I listen to you all day. So brain swaps back to English. And then Claudia, thing I'm now kind of filling in, she was about to talk about stress, and the Feldenkrais idea is stress often is unfinished movement, and about this body awareness through movement. then thinking about unfinished movement. Yeah, sometimes steps suddenly feel easy and don't feel big. So I didn't feel brave when I just moved here. I said, well, wherever I'm going to move, I have to start over because I'm not going to find that thing I'm looking for right in the neighborhood. So whenever I move across Germany, I have to restart in that area. So why not restart in Germany? And after my marriage had broken down in 2018, I was anyways, kind of figuring out how to do things now and what's going on now. So I felt at that point, okay, now it's time. It's time for the dream. And I took some time for adjusting and had just rented a place where I could live with the ponies. Right? But this was clear after a while. It was no permanent solution. And yeah, there were a lot of these obstacles, but at the time, after feeling stuck for many years where I did not kind of move in a direction, suddenly all this looking at houses, frustrating experiences fell into place because when I was here, I could check off the list of the hard facts, which I had learned that I need, and also could check off the list of the soft facts, and soft fact being like ponies at breakfast. That's why I come up with this sentence all the time. And in 2020, New Year's Eve, there was another Barbara Scheer coach who made a vision board workshop. And as it was COVID also, we could not meet in person. So I didn't have very many magazines home at my place at the time. I had moved not even a year ago to that place. So you don't take a bunch of old newspapers and magazines with you while moving, or I didn't. So I didn't have that many ones, but I made up this vision board. And as I didn't have too many magazines, I ended up having a red house with a black roof. This was even a natural fiber roof and wide windows in the center of this vision board. And then I found this house where I live now. It's a red house with black concrete roof and wide windows. So actually it looks like the Astrid Lindgren books and for Germans, Michel of Lönneberger, or for internationally, it's Emil of Lönneberger. So the histories and of this special place, actually. So yeah, it fell into place, and all the little steps, and the same like when I did the Feldenkrais training, I did a lot of trauma training too at the same time. And it's Levine, and I'm just not coming up with a name because this has disappeared right now. But it's often said it's just an unfinished cycle. And whenever it's kind of the same thing, the unfinished movement. So this, whatever blocks you in feelings and whatever you don't want to feel, it's sitting in your body, and you just can kind of solve it through your body without re-experiencing the whole thing, but just the body work doing it into. So if it is like this fight you cannot fight yet because it's not appropriate to punch whoever you, my boss in the face or whoever you would like to punch or fight, but then you don't do anything. But in order to not feel it, you just maybe start surfing the internet and not keep on your dream because it's something in there in yourself. But you can still do this kind of fine thing. Okay, now push the wall of your house or whatever place as hard as you can in order to get this feeling out of your body. Like, okay, I need to fight. No, I don't actually fight. I'm not fighting a person. But I can just get into this doing thing and then solve by this blockage. And afterwards, things just feel easier. So at the time, I was always wondering, so why do they think I'm brave? I'm just doing the next logical little step. It didn't feel big at the time. It felt a lot bigger to move out and actually give up on marriage after, well, we had 4 years of counseling, but then we just had to see, okay, it's not going to work. And even when I chose the house after 3 years we were separate, I knew in the back of my mind, this would be a house where my, at the time, still husband, although we were separated, would also could also live. I knew it would be, he would like the same thing as well. And it was important for me. I couldn't choose at the time. I could not choose. I decide myself when I knew it would be impossible for the relationship. By now I did the step, and we are in the process of being divorced or getting the divorce. But at the time it was still important for me that it would fit for kind of both of us. Not logical, but it was my important. And that was a part I didn't talk about with anybody at the time, that it was one of on my inner checklist. But still, I decided, okay, if it is important for me and it is on my checklist, it's valuable. It's in there. And that's kind of what I learned about Barbara. No matter how nuts your dreams may be, it's your dream and then it's valuable. She had this story about this cowboy accountant. I don't know if the other coaches kind of remember, like this, there was an accountant in New York City and he wanted to be a cowboy. And in this in this success team meeting, whatever, there was somebody who set him up for an internship for just being a cowboy on some place. And then he figured, wow, he could do his accountant job from wherever he was for his cowboy experience and keep his clients. And some of the former coaches and who became friends, they just said, well, now you're like Barbara's cowboy accountant, with just not being a cowboy, but being a Swede and having your ponies and still working in accountancy and working long distance with what I actually did before. So just little adaptations. And so it is sometimes worthwhile to think about impossible dreams, which were like childhood dreams. They just, to speak them out loud is the first step. And and it's helpful to have it in an environment like with the Barbara Share coaches where, okay, we know we are talking about impossible dreams and the others are supposed to not be judging. They are sometimes in the background, but they don't show it front off and try to be helpful anyways, even if they think what the kind of a nuts of a wish. And sometimes they just see, okay, weird wishes can have fun situations. So, and any questions?
I simply wanted to ask how the Swedish people, you mentioned something about them, I know, but do you feel now after you've been there for a while, do they still think that you're a bit crazy, the three of you, or is this like normal now?
I don't know, actually, but I've felt very welcomed here. Although there's a lot of Germans here and many of them don't bother to learn Swedish. But for me, it was really important from the beginning to try to learn Swedish. I did join the choir and they made me I was really happy that they let me practice with them. When I was a child in Germany, I was kicked out of children's choir for singing so bad. And here the Swedes, even with my accent, with my not speaking any Swedish, they let me practice with them. And then they had the first time on stage. And so I stepped back and I said, okay, you do it. And I watch it. And they were like really shocked. And I felt like, oops, I didn't want to step on their toes. Actually, I wanted to acknowledge that I'm not good enough to join in. And when I'm better, I'm just maybe trying it a couple of years. But that was no way the next time I was with them on stage. So, and since then I'm with them there. And then there was just suddenly someone who just told me, well, actually, do you have someone who's going to help? Do you live there all on your own? I said, yeah, I live there on my own. Well, and do you have someone you can call whenever there happens something that you really need help? I said, well, yeah, kind of, no, not really, don't know. And he said, well, should I give you my phone number? And whenever you really, really need help, just don't bother and call me. And he did this, but he did it in a really nice way, not in kind of mean women, I'm hoping to get something out of this. He's married, he's happily married, and he never came across like anything creepy towards me. But yeah, since then I do have a phone number, and by now I know him a little bit better and others. But yeah, it was really great here. So I really do get along with the Swedes. And they acknowledge that I try to learn Swedish. It works out for me. It works out here, and I really feel comfortable here in my little teeny tiny Swedish village. And then working, the hardest thing is working online from home with no work colleagues. That's really for me what I struggle with most. That I really work efficiently and not let me distract and not give in into negative feelings I have, and then not work. Once you're in an office building, you can just like walk around, talk to colleague A, go to the coffee kitchen, go to the toilet, but then pretty much everything is done. And you go back to your computer and you go working. Here, yeah, there's a little more distractions. Or even if I just sit there and would watch play with the internet on my mobile phone, nobody sees it that I do that here. So it is way easier to do it.
That can happen in your home country too, by the way, but it's
a- Yes, if you work from home, it doesn't matter in which country you work from home, because there isn't anybody.
And Tasha, if I may, Jennifer just simply said, so you did a vision board with a red house and black roof, and then are you saying you found that exact house in Sweden? That is cool. And I just want to, from my side, I was selfishly hoping, because looking at real estate is one of my guilty pleasures, secret pleasures, kind of, except Carolina knew. And so I was hoping she'd move into the area. And she sends me this picture, goes, I think I found a house. And I'm like, by the way, that's in Sweden. Did you notice that? Yeah, because it's from my vision board. So I really like it. I just knew it. It's a little story what she said, but in that moment I thought, oh, she's lost to us. It's gonna work. Because that's what happens when you feel it. And I could feel, yeah. Okay. All right, Natasha, I'm done.
Yeah, I just have sorry. The
vision board behind me, probably.
I have the vision board behind her.
Yeah. So I still have it on the wall, the one with the red.
Yeah.
With the red house. Maybe you can see it. Maybe it's too dark. I don't know, because I didn't see that part.
That's great. Yeah. I just wanted to ask about Feldenkrais, because I don't know that much about it. I know that several of our coaches are also practitioners. But from what I understood, you were saying that it's basically more of a physical approach to dealing with resistances.
It's a holistic approach, but you do it through movement. Mm-hmm. But by learning how you use your body in movement, you get aware how you use yourself. Mm-hmm. What do you do to yourself? With the Western tradition separates body and self sometimes. Sometimes we say, I have a body, or I am my body. I don't know. I still don't know what is really right. And I'm not about this outside, okay, look pretty American thing. That's really definitely not mine, as you probably see, as I don't have color somewhere around. But without my body, I wouldn't be here. I also wouldn't be here talking to you. So I actually need it. And by experiencing, how do I learn? How do I use myself? How do I treat myself? You learn it in trying to do weird movements, either lying on the floor or sitting or standing up. But you transfer it to your whole life and to your whole self, because you're not just in this situation using yourself, but also in like every day, how do you use movement when you try to reach something on a high shelf? when you ever have to lift something, when you just walk or go, and body and feelings is so strongly related. There's this Charlie Brown cartoon where Charlie Brown is standing there with a round back and hanging head, and says, well, when you want to be depressive, you really need to stand like this, because otherwise, if you stand up straight, you don't have anything of your depression. It won't end last. So there's two ways to look at things. Kind of, do you need to change the mind in order for the body position to change? Or do you change the way you organize your body for your feelings to change? So it's either way you can reach it. And often at times the Feldenkrais thing, they try to, if you think about a diagram with one slice, a cake diagram, and like one slice is whatever goes good, and the other slice is whatever doesn't go or it's not good. Well, you can either try to reduce the not good and kind of work on what's hard, and that, or the Feldenkrais approach is, okay, I just expand whatever is good so that it's even better. And then the edges of the even better, and that's good. And automatically the not good part gets smaller.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for explaining that.
Then it is in your mind also. The flexibility is not just in your body, it's in your mind. And maybe it was part of that I could be flexible. Okay, I'm not able to live my dream in Germany, but I could live it in Sweden. So why shouldn't I live in Sweden?
Exactly. Perfect. Thank you so much. That was amazing.